What can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco. We made it to episode 10. Happy Friday. And yeah, since it is Friday, let's do this. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday! And if you listened to episode 9, the episode right before this one, you know that today's like an extra, extra special Breakfast Burrito Friday because today's the day I release my Breakfast Burrito Friday song that I made. I don't know what else to say about it except for, I guess, let's just do it. Let's just get this over with. And by the way, the music video that I made for this song is very poorly done and in front of a green screen. So be nice, please. but I'm going to post that later this evening. I'm going to let you just kind of soak in the fact that this song is a real song all day. And then later in the evening, tonight on Friday, I will post the music video that I made for it. That alone is pretty spectacular. So you're going to want to see that and you're going to want to follow me on Instagram. That's where I'll put it, at the Nina Blanco. But let's get to the song. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday. I'm going to play you the full like 1 minute and 20 second song. So without further ado, Breakfast Burrito Friday. You know what it is. A lot of time trying to figure that out and putting that together for you. So happy Breakfast Burrito Friday, a tradition that I'm going to hang on to forever and ever and ever. At least that's the plan. It's Friday. You made it to Friday. Treat yourself. You deserve it. That's just, I firmly believe that. So happy Breakfast Burrito Friday. And yeah, I'll put out the music video on my social media, probably on my Instagram. And you can follow me at the Nina Blanco. So another thing that I've been talking about all week, other than Breakfast Burrito Friday, leading up to the majesticness that you just heard, that incredible song, the best thing your ears have listened to in a very long time. I know, and you're welcome for that. I've also been talking about all week long my Galentine's Day fundraiser. It's super awesome. And you guys, this is going so incredible because I've already raised over $700. So I'm recording this podcast a little bit early. I'm recording this podcast on Wednesday night because I do have friends coming in. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we will, you know, be way past that. But as of right now, as I am recording, we have raised over $700, $735 is what I currently have right now. So hopefully it's more than that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm basically doing the Venmo challenge for Galentine's Day. I'm collecting donations on my Venmo and PayPal at the Nina Blanco. So that way I can put together 25 gift baskets for 25 women that are staying at a shelter in my neighborhood. The shelter is the Volunteers of America Irving Street Women's Residence. 25 women are there. and I plan to get them items including toiletries, feminine hygiene products, first aid, and Valentine's Day flair, plus some crafting items. That way they can enjoy it in their free time. I'm going to deliver these gift baskets and put them together before Galentine's Day. I'm going to deliver them hopefully on Galentine's Day, although that is a Sunday, so hopefully they're, you know, allowing guests to come in that day. If not, I'll do it on Valentine's Day on Monday to celebrate these ladies. I mean, I just think they really deserve it. And so you can donate to this cause by sending a donation to my Venmo or to my PayPal for the Galentine's Day Venmo Challenge. Just find me at the Nina Blanco. So far, so good. The response to this has just been so amazing. And so that just, you know, fills me up with so much joy. And we're doing this together. And so already we've just raised a lot of money. And at the very least, 25 women are most definitely getting a basket. It just, we'll find out how much is in that basket on how much that we raise. So if you can donate, please do on my Venmo or on my PayPal at the Nina Blanco. So I just mentioned a little while ago that my friend Bex is indeed coming into town. She is deciding to take the trip and she is driving from St. Louis, Missouri, all the way to Denver, and she's coming with her fiance and her best friend. I know and love all of them, so I'm so excited for them to come out here. Her bestie, who she's bringing, has never been to Colorado before, so since it just snowed, I'm hoping that way, you know, we can make it to, at the very least, Lookout Mountain, you know, Red Rocks, maybe even further if we have time. We just got to figure out everything exactly that we want to do while they are here. But she's never seen the Colorado Mountains before, so I am stoked to show her that. My friend Bex, I mentioned in the last episode that she's been out to Denver quite a few times. She knows Denver. She loves Denver. And the last time she was here, she went to a Botanica in my neighborhood, and she said it was probably the scariest Botanica she's ever been to, ever. If you don't know what a Botanica is, I mean, I guess I don't know the actual definition. Actually, let me look this up real quick. Okay, it says a small store that sells herbal and other traditional remedies together with charms, incense, candles, and other items used for religious or spiritual purposes. And so there are a bunch of different botanicas just all over the place. And it's kind of just, you know, find one that you like. They have different things. And Bex said she went to this specific botanica before that's near my house. And she said it was probably the scariest one that she's ever been to. There was like cat claws and just all sorts of stuff. But she wants to take me there and she wants to teach me a little bit. And she kind of wants to just get my feel on being in a botanica and learning about some of the stuff that she is into, because she is into witchcraft and stuff like that. Go check out her podcast if you are into witchy stuff. She's really, really great at just explaining things. If you're a newbie or if you are, you know, advanced, I just feel like you would really, really love her stuff. So go check out her podcast, Tu Tia Bruja, wherever you get your podcasts. So I am going to have to explain to my friend Bex my neighbor situation while she's here, because there's just something really like noticeable with my neighbors right now. And I thought, what a perfect opportunity to catch you up on some crazy neighbor stories. I told you I had some. So that's what we're going to do in this episode. So the thing that my friend is going to notice is out my kitchen window and out my living room patio door, we have a shared fence. I have three neighbors all around me, but in this fence in particular, the wooden portion of the fence is like half fallen down, and it's been laying there fallen down for over a month now, and I don't know why they haven't picked it up, because this wooden fence is just, it's leaning on the side of their house, like it's on their house. So this fence fell because it just was not in great condition in the first place. And so there's two fences. There's the wooden fence on my neighbor's side, and then there's a little chain link fence on my side. And we actually had to work with these neighbors earlier last year because there was a tree that grew right in the middle of both of these fences, and it has ruined my concrete. The roots have lifted the concrete up. We're going to have to redo that. I mean, the fence is just all over the place. It knocked down their wooden part of the fence because the tree has gotten so big. That tree's been there for forever, since way before we moved in, since way before my neighbors moved in. And so earlier last year, we had to work with them because the tree that was there was half dead. And it's right in between both of our properties. And the alive side, the heavy side, was on my side of the house. So one giant gust of wind, one really bad snowstorm, you know, whatever it is, it was really close to falling on my house. So we had to take care of this. We're like, we can't risk this any longer because that tree, since we've had the house, has been there already for 2-3 years. And from the get-go, we're like, we're worried about this tree. So we're like, we got to get rid of this tree because enough is enough. And it's dying more and more every year. And this is scary. I do not want a tree to fall on my house. So I talked to my neighbors and she is a single mom, as far as I can see. I don't know too much about her whole situation or her personal life or anything like that. I just know that she is a fellow Latina and she really just keeps to herself, doesn't speak a whole lot of English. And it's just her, her teenage son, and her daughter. And so I went to go talk to her and it was a little bit of like a broken up conversation because she didn't fully understand English and I don't fully understand Spanish, but we worked it out, you know, communication. I at one point called my mom, had her on speakerphone to just help translate a couple of things to ask her about this tree and to ask her, hey, since it's between both of our houses, is there any way that you can help? Like, we'll do all the work and we'll get some quotes and we'll find, you know, the best option out of those quotes. Can you help pay for some of it? Are you in the position to do that as a neighbor? And she basically was like, I really financially am not in the position to help pay for something like that, but I know a guy who can probably help us out. So I was like, I don't know. Okay. Decided to go with her plan of, hey, I know a guy and he'll be able to take this tree down. All right. So he comes over and he starts cutting down some of the limbs of the tree, like little by little, just some of the side limbs. And it mostly was just on their side of the property. And then he ran into an issue because it was literally just one guy with a ladder and a chainsaw. And he came into the issue like, this tree is huge, you guys. This tree is gigantic. And he was like, I need help. Can your fiance, the boy, can he help me? Can he get on the roof of your house? I'll be on the ladder on this side while I'm cutting down the tree. Can he grab onto one of the limbs and pull it? That way the tree falls into our yard and then he can cut it up. And the boy was like, absolutely not. No, not doing that. I'm not putting myself into any possible physical danger or harm or anything like that. Like I said, it's literally just a dude with a ladder and a chainsaw and some ropes. And he was like, no, I'm not signing up for that. I'm not going to help you. Sorry. So then this half-cut tree that is leaning even more on our side because they cut off all the limbs on their side is just sitting there. And I was like, okay, emergency, emergency, hire a service. We just paid for it. Never really talked to them about it. It was just, that's what it was. And yeah, it was just a little bit of a weird situation, but you know what? Financially, they're not able to do it. It is what it is. So I tried, really, really tried not to hold any grudges. I'm like, you know, they can't swing it. We can swing it. So we did it. But I did notice at that point that things that were halfway done, it wasn't necessarily an issue for them because along with this giant tree that we had asked to cut down, for some reason, he started cutting down other trees in her lawn. And there's this other tree that's close to the fence line, but definitely on their side that he started to cut down. And she stopped him halfway because she didn't want that tree cut down. And he just decided he was going to cut it down. So he stopped halfway through and then they just like left the half of the tree in their lawn. And like they have a fire pit, they have fires all the time and stuff. And they also have like a wood burning fireplace in their house. I would assume maybe we cut this up, let it dry out, and then you could use it yourself. But no, they literally have just left it in the middle of their yard. So I'm like, weird, but whatever, not my business. So then there was this major storm in December. So it was, I looked it up. It was December 14th in Denver. We got really, really, really high winds. It was like 80 mile an hour per winds throughout Denver, December 14th. And these winds were pretty crazy. And so they definitely reached 80 miles an hour in our backyard. Thank goodness that tree was gone because that would have been what pushed it over onto our house. So thank goodness that was done. But their fence not being in great condition, the wooden part of it, fell over. So it fell over and it is leaning on my neighbor's house. And they haven't picked it up. And I just thought it was really weird that they haven't picked it up. But we have this like knocked down fence and it's a real pretty view outside of my kitchen window. I don't know. I did notice that they had family over for the holidays and like no one decided they would help her because she is a single mom. Like maybe she doesn't know what to do or doesn't have the muscle strength or I don't know. But she had family members over, like dudes, like uncles and brothers or whoever they are. She had burly men that could have helped pick up the fence or I don't know, but they never did anything about it. So I don't know what to do about that fence. It is what it is. Another thing about those neighbors, and I feel bad. I'm not trying to like trash my neighbor or anything. It's just like weird things. Like what are you doing? This is like a simple solution. You could like pick up the fence. Like it's not, I don't know. It just doesn't seem too hard to me. And it's also leaning on their house and that's not good. And now there's heavy snow on top of the fence leaning further into their house. It just seems like not a good situation if you're living in a house. You know what I mean? I've also noticed before we cut that big tree that was right in the middle of our fences, before we cut that down, there was a lot of squirrels that would climb up in that tree. And the squirrels would go in and out and they would go in and out of her house. The squirrels chewed a hole in the siding of her house towards the ceiling, and there is a hole there. And these squirrels, we would watch them, like 20 squirrels go in and out of this hole. And we're like, squirrels are living in their ceiling. Do they not know that squirrels are living in their ceiling? Because we could see it. It's pretty obvious. But you would think that maybe they would hear, like, running around, scratching in their ceiling, because there was a lot of squirrels, a lot of squirrels. And I don't know, like, is there possible like pee stains and stuff that are on their ceiling soaking through? Like there has to be, right? So it just seems really weird to me. They've also never fixed that problem. I guess the squirrels don't bother them. Since we cut down the tree, it took away the easy route for the squirrels to get in there, but they still go in there. They get on the top of her house from the other side of her house. There must be a tree or something over there. They run across her roof and then still go into this hole and I see them all the time. So because of that, like I said, I would assume that the squirrels are peeing in there, they're pooping in there, they're probably having babies. Like, think about it, right? So since it snowed and we have some icicles forming, I mean, we had icicles on all around our house. Icicles are normal, but in this particular corner of the roof where the squirrels are, where the squirrel hole is, there's shitsticles, guys. Yeah, literal shitsticles sticking down from the squirrel hole that you can see, like brown icicles, and they're real long. Oh my gosh. And that's our view while we're sitting on our couch watching TV. If we happen to look over it, there's shitsticles. I don't know. Why would you leave this? These seem like pretty major problems and also noticeable problems. It is just, it's weird to me, guys. So I'm going to have to explain all of that to my friends who are coming over. Like, don't mind the neighbors. I don't know what they're doing over there. Shitsticles. Yeah. So that's one neighbor, one out of three. So that neighbor is on one side of my house. On the other side of my house, those neighbors are the hoarder neighbors. I also have a slight suspicion that they might be drug dealers. I don't know that for a fact. I just have a hunch. I don't know. But the hoarders, I mean, they're going to keep to themselves. And they do try to like do some things to the house. I did notice last summer they had some kind of city ordinance paper on their window. I don't know what that was about. Have no idea. But the summer before that, they were actually very nice. They talked to us and asked about repairing the fence that we share on the other side of the house. And they did half of the repairs. They fixed half of the fence with brand new wood and it looks nice. They did it themselves. They did a good job and they had to get into our yard a couple times to do it. No problem. Don't really talk to them very much. I mean, they really do keep to themselves. The boys talk to them a little bit more than I have. It's like a couple of younger-ish guys, 30s, 40s that are living there. And I don't know, they've had a couple ambulance visits lately in the last year. I would say the ambulance has come around like 2 or 3 in the morning a couple times. I don't know why though. So I don't know what's going on over there, but we got some hoarders over there from window in the house. We could, you know, there's no privacy where I live. Okay, I'm sorry. And I might be an asshole neighbor for looking into their yards, but it is what it is. It's like right freaking there. But they have like 3 cars in the backyard. There's a boat in the backyard. The yard is so full of stuff. They have a dog that the dog was able to jump up on the stuff and then jump up on the roof of their garage. So then their dog is like running around the roof of their garage all summer long, does it all the time. But they have to be hoarded. I don't know. They have a lot of stuff. They have a lot of stuff in their backyard and in their garage. And these are the neighbors that I had mentioned a couple episodes ago that were like moving cars in the middle of the night. They're always moving their cars. And yeah, so they have more cars in the front. Oh, speaking of the front yard, they have a TV that's been sitting in their front yard next to their front door for the last 3 years, I want to say, about 3-4 years. This TV was thrown out by my other neighbor who has the shitsticles. They threw that TV out on extra trash day. It was a huge, huge TV with a big fat butt, but it was like a big screen TV, and the garbage men didn't take it. And so like that's something that you have to take to a recycling center. So they didn't take that for extra trash day. So that just sat in their yard for like a month before my hoarder neighbors took it and brought it over to the other side of my house into their front yard. And they ripped out all the wiring, I'm assuming to sell for like the copper and stuff. And they ripped all of that out. And now the empty giant TV is just sitting next to their front door. And it's been there for like minimum the last 3 years. So sorry for judging. I feel like such an asshole. I feel like I'm talking shit about them, which I kind of am. But do you blame me? Come on. We do have one neighbor who we're really friendly with. I don't want to say his name, but we're going to call him Chris. And we share kind of like a backyard area. And so we talk to Chris all the time because he's always walking back and forth from his house to his garage. And then he walks in the backyard, which links to our backyard. And we see him all the time, especially if we're in the backyard just doing our thing. Again, no privacy. He talks to us. He's nice, single guy. He lives with his son, doesn't have a wife. I don't know that situation, but he talks a lot about his diabetes and how he doesn't drink anymore. And that's about it. We don't really know what to talk to him about because we don't have that much in common with Chris, but bless him. He's trying to be neighborly. He's trying to be nice. So, you know, we're doing the same, but there's not a lot to talk to him about. We also cannot remember Chris's son's name, and we feel rude asking because now we've lived here for like 4 or 5 years and we feel so bad that we can't remember his son's name. But he works at Best Buy and he lives with him and he listens to like steampunk, and that's about all I know about him. We call him Chris's weird son because we can't remember his name. And we call him weird because his room, you can tell which room is his room. Again, no privacy. His room is just like right there in my backyard. You could see it. And when we first got Bonzo, my dog, when he was a puppy, we had to take him out in the middle of the night. I was getting up at like 1 or 2 in the morning to take him out. And when I would do that, I was in the backyard and Chris's weird son is in the backyard like chain smoking cigarettes. And he was like listening to music. And I was trying to listen to what he was listening to. And it was like steampunk. I don't know how else to describe it. It was just like machines blowing steam. It was like, and then it would add a beat like, like it's steampunk, right? I don't know. It's like 2 a.m, chain smoking cigarettes in the backyard, listening to steampunk music, and his room is like glowing red. Red, like is this 50 Shades of Grey, the red room? I don't know, but it's glowing red. And so that's why we call him Chris's weird son. But we want to be nice. We want to be nice to Chris because he's real neighborly. And so one time in our garden, we had a bunch of squash. And so we gave Chris some squash. We're like, here, this is from the garden, freshly grown. You can eat it because it's vegetables. And he tries to eat healthy because of his diabetes. And like, again, that's all we can talk to him about. So we gave him some squash. And then we found out that Chris is really into bread making. And he actually made us like a squash banana bread out of the squash we gave him. And it was so good. And I was like, oh, look at us being neighborly. We gave you squash and you gave us bread. And oh, we're chumming it up, right? So we found out he's super into bread because one time I had been out of town and the boy was at home alone and he was like doing some yard work. And so Chris came out and they struck up a conversation. And he was like, oh yeah, Nina's not here. And he was like, why don't you come on over? I want to show you my bread stuff, because they were talking about bread. And the boy was like, okay. So we went into Chris's house, said it was an all right house, tried to keep it tidy, but you know, bachelor style kind of house. And Chris showed him like 6 different types of flour and grains and stuff that he had to make bread, and talked about like this Facebook group that he's a part of. It's like bread making Facebook group and they make different kinds of breads. And then he opened up his fridge and he's like, let me show you my yeast samples. Like, it was a whole thing. I felt so bad for the boy. But, you know, more neighborly bonding. We'll take it. We'll take it. Then over the summer, you guys, I could not believe this shit. So Chris comes out. We were out doing yard work and I was inside for like a second, and Chris comes out and starts talking to the boy like, hey, I wanted to give you something. And he was like, oh, okay, maybe it's more bread. And he gives him this like pretty big tray and it had some foil over it. And he goes, it's lasagna. It's vegetarian lasagna because I don't eat meat because of my diabetes. And it's made with a bunch of different vegetables. It's got like 4 different cheeses in it. And I thought you guys would like some. It's some lasagna. And so the boy's like, thanks, and brings it inside. They finish up their conversation. And he's like, Nina, check out that fucking lasagna. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so sweet. Like, Chris made us lasagna? Like, that's neighborly as fuck. That's awesome. That makes me so happy. I love Chris. The boy's like, no, no, no. Go open the fridge and look at the lasagna. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I go over to the fridge and I pick up the tray, put it on the counter. And this is like a big tray. And I can tell like it was like half, like only half of the tray because it was weighted down on one side. And then I open up the aluminum foil and I look at it. And this is like a week and a half old, half-eaten lasagna. He gave us his leftovers. When I say that this lasagna was on its last fucking leg, you guys, you know how sometimes food and lasagna and cheese and stuff has been in the fridge is a little bit slimy? Yeah, there was that. It was pretty stank because of those 4 different kinds of cheeses. And because it was a vegetarian lasagna, vegetables have a lot of water. It was all watery on the bottom. You guys, it was not okay to give to your neighbor. I was mad at Chris after that. I was like, dude, I thought we were friends. What the fuck is this? He gave us some nasty ass lasagna. We just threw it away. We threw it away immediately. I was like, we can't eat this. We're not going to eat this shit. We're going to get so sick. We only have 1 bathroom, 1 toilet. This isn't going to work. So we threw away Chris's week old, half eaten, slimy lasagna. No, no. So these are my neighbors. These are my neighbors. I still feel like an asshole. I still feel like an asshole, like I'm talking shit, which I totally am. But again, do you blame me? What the hell? I can't. I cannot. 0%. So those are the kinds of things that my neighbors do and the things that I have to deal with. And that's all right, because I still really love my house and I like living in my neighborhood, even though it gets shot up. I got shady neighbors. I got neighbors that won't fix their shit. I got neighbors that don't know not to give people rancid food. I mean, you name it, I got it. I wonder how long we're going to live at this house. And I wonder like what else I'm going to get into or what I'm going to be given or see or all of it. Shitsticles, guys. Shitsticles! I'm going to include some photos. If you want to see the shitsticles, I have pictures of the shitsticles and I have pictures of the lasagna. If you want to see pictures, I'm putting them up on my website. Go to my Instagram, click on the link in bio, click on the Nina Blanco podcast, and you'll be sure to find it. I'm going to post up some pictures there because... Gosh, it's not okay. All right, that does it for me. I know it's Friday and I know I normally do get into a yeah, but I'm recording this early. I just feel like I'm going to miss some really important stuff. I already told you Riri got pregnant. I mean, Spotify is still doing weird shit with Joe Rogan. That's still a whole thing. We'll see what happens. Outside of that, oh yeah, Tom Brady was like, I'm not going to retire. And then I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. Oh, just kidding. I'm retired. So I don't fucking, it's sports. Yay. It's boo. Sad. I don't know. Tom Brady. Everyone feels different. That does it for me. Don't forget about my Galentine's Day fundraiser. If you can donate to that, that would be incredible. My Venmo and PayPal is open at the Nina Blanco. You can find me there. I'm collecting money until a couple, till like the 10th. Let's say February 10th. We'll close it then. Anything left over, of course, I will donate to Volunteers of America, but I am just trying to get some really, really great gift baskets together for the 25 women that live at the Irving Street Women's Residence. They're there, and, you know, if you're going through tough times, just getting a gift like that would be just so freaking awesome. So that is the goal, to get them some toiletries, feminine hygiene products, first aid, some Valentine's Day for them to enjoy. So if you want to donate, go and donate on my Venmo or my PayPal at the Nina Blanco. Thank you so much. And instead of my normal outro, we're going to listen to the Breakfast Burrito Friday song one more time. Oh, you know it's good. You know what it is. Music video up later on my Instagram at the Nina Blanco. Love you. Bye.